to turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and verse 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth, which is faith, that Jesus is the Son of God? Seen the last week that Christian life is a life of faith. In fact, it is the only way that you can live the Christian life, the likeness of Jesus Christ. We see that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith involves things hoped for, which is the future. And faith is the ground or the confidence of those things. It's what substantiates those things. Faith also is the evidence, the proof of things not seen, that is, things that are invisible. In other words, faith gives us the ability to believe what we cannot see. Faith gives us the ability to see what we cannot see with the physical eye. We saw last week that really everything in the Christian life goes back to, is dependent upon faith. Our prayer life is dependent upon our degree of faith. And the way we surrender to the Lord, the way we yield to the Lord, just everything in the Christian life is connected and is related to our degree of faith. And faith does have various degrees, and those degrees can change quite rapidly. So I want to continue looking at what is faith. We see that it is substance and it is evidence, or it is proof. Faith is belief, and that of course is what most people think of when they think of faith. It's belief of God. It's not only belief of God. A lot of people believe that there is a God, but it's a belief of who God is. It's a belief of what the Bible has to say about him. So it's more than just a belief that there is a God. It is a belief of who God is. Again, we must believe he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is also a belief in what he says. And by belief, we simply mean conviction. It is a conviction. It's not something that is going to be changed about us. It is a conviction. In Acts 27 and verse 25, you remember Paul stood up and in the storm-tossed ship and he said, "I believe God." That's faith. I believe God. But then there was another aspect of that faith. He went on to say that it shall be even or exactly as it was told me. So what he says is, I believe God. But I believe that he is. I believe that he is who he is. But I also believe what he says. And I believe that it shall be exactly, in spite of the appearances right now that Paul was experiencing, he says, I believe it will be even as it was told me. And what God told Paul was that of those 270 people on board that ship, not one of them would lose their life. And here they are, the ship is falling all to pieces, and the storm isn't easing up. And in the midst of, and Paul could see the storm, Paul could feel the storm, but he said, I believe it'll be exactly as it was told me. That's faith. That is believing in spite of appearances. And faith will always be tested. What we say we believe will always be tested. So faith being always tested, we can see the appearances, what it appears things are going to be, but faith has to have the conviction that goes beyond that. Again, if you only believe when everything seems to be going in that direction, that's not faith. Lost man can do that. But faith is believing in spite of appearances. It's having conviction in spite of appearances. Faith consists of knowledge. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. And again, most of the world would put faith and ignorance on the same level. But the Bible teaches that faith, of course, is not ignorance. Faith does consist of knowledge. It's not ignorance of the circumstances, and it's not an ignorance of God. And Paul, here in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer. So there's his circumstances. He's suffering. Nevertheless, that is, again, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. That is, I'm just as bold as I've always been. I'm not ashamed, for I know. You see, his suffering did not detract from his knowledge. He says, I know whom I have believed, or whom I have faith in. That, of course, being the Lord. This knowledge is an awareness. If you know something, you're aware. So he says, even in the midst of suffering, I am aware of whom I believe. That's faith. If we're not aware of God, again, you can say you believe God, but if you're not aware of God, that's another step of faith. Knowing God, being aware, being conscious. To know something is to be conscious of it. To know something is to be familiar with it. So when he says, I know whom I have believed, he is saying, I am aware, even in the midst of my suffering, I am conscious, and I am nonetheless familiar with Jesus Christ. That brings us to another thing concerning faith. Faith consists of persuasion, which again is another progression of knowledge. He says, I know whom I have believed, and that is, in addition to believing, in addition to knowing, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that he, the one in whom I believe, I am persuaded that he is able. That is, in the midst of my suffering, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded. Faith is persuasion. Faith is confidence. The more faith we have, the more confidence we have in God. The more faith we have, the more assurance we have in God. But persuasion consists of being deep, having something deeply impressed upon us. And when he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, what he is saying is that everything about Jesus Christ has been deeply impressed upon him. That's faith. And it's that faith that will see you through circumstances. Paul's circumstances, again, is he is suffering. So this is more than an intellectual knowledge. This is more than an intellectual conviction. This is a persuasion to be thoroughly assured and confident in spite of appearances. Again, if we can only be confident and only be assured when things are going how we think they should go, that is not faith. Faith is being persuaded of these things in spite of. And in Romans chapter 4, we see an example of this. Romans chapter 4, that is, of this persuasion. Talking about Abraham. And says in verse 18, who against hope, that is, there was no evidence outwardly that this thing was going to happen, who against hope believed in hope. Again, faith is the substance of hope. In other words, when there, by appearance, when there was no hope, he still believed in hope. And many times, by human appearances, all hope is taken away. But faith believes even in those times. He goes on, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. This is the basis of his faith. According to that which was spoken, he believed what God said. And being not weak in faith, so there is a, if there's a possibility of being weak in faith, it's again, there are measures of faith. He considered not his own body now dead. That is, he did not stop and consider the things that appeared to be working against what God said. Be not weak in faith, he considered not. So, when we consider these things, when we dwell on these things, when we dwell on the appearances, when we dwell on all that which seems to be working against us, we're weak in faith. I mean, that's what this verse is saying. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was dead. As he didn't consider his circumstances as standing in the way. So when we get all caught up in appearances, you can mark it down, you're weak in faith. You're weak in faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. There were two things working against them, working against the promise of God. Two things that made it appear that there was no hope. Abraham's body and Sarah's body. But it says that he considered not these things. Now we know from reading the book of Genesis that there were times during this process in which Abraham was weak in faith. No doubt about that. But Paul is writing here of a time when he was not weak in faith. And that gets back to what I said earlier. Our degree of faith can change in an instant. We can go from strong faith to weak faith in a second. That just the way we are. He goes on, again, keep in mind he's not weak in faith. he staggered not. That is, in light of these two facts, that his body is old, Sarah's body is old, Sarah's womb is dead. He staggered not. That is, when you stagger, you walk unsteadily, you walk with uncertainty, you waver, you hesitate. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God. That is, in spite of the appearances, he did not waver at the promises of God. That's strong faith. That's strong faith. That's the kind of faith we need all the time. He did not hesitate. There was no hesitation. Now, what happens a lot of times is we hesitate, we hem, we haw, we worry ourselves sick, and eventually we come around. But we see here he staggered not at the promise of God. And how is it that we stagger at the promise of God? We do this through unbelief. We do this through unbelief. It's not the size of our obstacles. That's not why we stagger. It's not the size of the problems. It's not the size of the appearances that cause us to stagger. What causes us to stagger is unbelief. So he did not stagger through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Being not weak in faith, and he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being, present tense, fully persuaded, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the appearances, he was fully persuaded, it was fully impressed upon him, he was fully assured, he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's faith. That is faith. And again, when everything is going the way you think it should go, you do not give it much thought, but when all appearances, and many times, God will send appearances in our life to test our faith. They can also be from Satan. But these are things that test faith, and we would be wise in those times to examine our faith. Are we weak in faith, or are we strong in faith? Faith also consists of assent. That is, faith, not only does faith know, not only is faith assured and confidence in its knowledge of God, but faith agrees with God. What happens when we're weak in faith is we read God's word or somebody refers us to a passage of Scripture and we'll say, but. We're not in full agreement. That very word shows that we're not in full agreement with what we just read or what we just heard. But, in other words, there's an exception. That's weak faith. That's unbelief. Faith simply agrees with God. God says it. In spite of appearance, we believe it. We agree with what God has said. Faith also consists of seeing the unseen. Seeing the unseen. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. And this is something that we all struggle with, because it's our nature. It is our nature to look, and it's not here that we do not see things which are seen, that we're oblivious to them, but we look not, we do not concentrate, We do not base everything on what we see. That also includes what we hear. While we look not at the things which are seen, we don't get stuck there. That's something we all struggle with. But at the things which are not seen, that's where we need, for lack of a better word, to get stuck. On the things which are not seen. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the proof of these things. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 7 of chapter 5. Paul says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." It goes back, verse 6, he says, "Therefore we are always confident." We are always confident knowing. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's how we are always confident and always knowing. So faith is the opposite. It is the direct opposite of walking by sight. Now, what is it to walk by sight? To me, walking by sight is to be controlled by what we see. Our thought process, our moods, our attitudes, if they are controlled by what we see, it's a lack of faith. There's no getting around it. That is a lack of faith. When we are controlled by these things, and we're all, to some degree, controlled by what we see, by what we hear, by what we think we see, by what we thought we heard. And to walk by sight is to be controlled by these things. To walk by faith is to be controlled by the invisible. It is to be under the control of that which is eternal. So we either walk by faith or we walk by sight. A good example is in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Caleb, Joshua, and then the other 10 spies. You see, the 10 spies, all they could see was that there was giants in the land. That's all they could see. And they were completely under the control of that. And their reasoning was completely caught up with there's giants in the land. Caleb and Joshua also made reference to the giants in the land. So it wasn't that Caleb and Joshua just didn't happen to see the giants. They saw them too. But they weren't controlled by that. They said, "We are able." Yes, there are giants in the land, but we are able. So you see, they were controlled by what they couldn't see with the physical eye. That's faith. And in order to live the Christian life, we have to have this faith. Faith consists of taking hold of what is known, taking hold of what is believed, taking hold of what is seen, that is, the invisible. It's embracing the promises of God. Notice, lastly, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." That is, they could see them with the eye of faith. "And were persuaded of them," that is what they could see, afar off, "and embraced them." That's part of faith. Faith is, and to embrace is to take it as our own. "And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." In other words, because they were persuaded, because they embraced these things, it changed their way of living. Faith is embracing God. Faith is embracing what God has said. And again, it's just a further progression of believing. We can say, I believe God. We can even say, I believe what God has said. But it gets even better if you embrace what you believe, what you say you believe. So you see, there's a progression in faith. But we have the privilege, we have the opportunity to live by faith. There's no better way to live life. Most don't believe that because people will say things like this, well, I guess we'll just have to trust the Lord. As if that's an awful thing. As if that is a step down in life somehow. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to live by faith. And there are very few who know much at all about living by faith. But we need to live by faith. Let's look to the Lord.